Did everything save okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And this guy, you know, I formatted the card, and it looks like it's fixed it. You know, I've stopped recording, started a few times. It hasn't aired where it's aired before. So, I don't think we have to worry about it. We don't have to use this guy, but we don't have to worry about him.
Yeah. The other guy, is he okay?
Yeah, sure, he's good.
Okay.
He's doing his thing.
So, hopefully we won't have that that problem again where we lose an entire show because both... I mean, the idea that both the main and the backup would fail was something that we hadn't considered.
That's when you just have another beer and say, fuck it.
Yeah. We were mad at the time, but I think we got over it, as you can tell by the show.
We're going to try another can of coconut porter.
Yeah.
And see where the coconuts went.
If they all went into this can. Okay. So, let me do this. I have some more topics to talk about. Have you been keeping up with your Game of Thrones?
I have been keeping up with my Game of Thrones.
We haven't been talking about it a while, but there's been some good eps.
Yeah, so I was watching... Spoiler alerts. Turn off the post show now if you're not caught up with Game of Thrones. If you haven't seen The Battle of Castle Black.
Mm-hmm.
That was last
episode.
Episode
9.
And then was there an episode after that?
Yes, there is an episode tomorrow.
Oh, well, right. Okay. I thought you meant from then till now is what I was asking. But yeah, I know there's an episode tomorrow.
Yeah,
sorry.
Okay. It wasn't the last episode of the season.
Okay. So the Battle of Castle Black, I saw a really neat story with the producer, director, somebody talking about the giants and the mammoths and stuff. And, you know, they initially wanted to have many more mammoths and giants in the battle scenes. And then since the mammoths were 100% CGI, it turned out to be too difficult.
Mm.
So they had to scale it back to just the one mammoth and the two giants. The giants were actually 8-foot actors.
Really?
Yeah, they shot him on green screen and blew him up, but 8-foot... Can you imagine 8-foot, dude?
Being 5'9", roughly, that means an 8-foot dude would tower over me. I mean, be 3 foot taller than I am, almost.
Yeah. And then, so they were shot on green screen for the most
part.
He'd
be a Peter Dinklage taller than me.
Yeah. And then the part where the giant was running through the tunnel, that was through a half-high tunnel, right? To kind of get that scale done. But, you know, I just thought the giants were really well done. I really liked when the mammoth ran off and the one giant started running after him. Mm-hmm. It showed the giants were actually, athletic, you know, and not just lumbering, you know. And then, of course, he gets the arrow in the back right there.
Yeah, I mean, but not only that, but also showed that, you know, that would and the other, that the giants were not just robots. They had emotions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Although I still think that door shouldn't have opened by one giant. And I understand it was a giant who was in the emotional heat of things. Yeah, but I mean, the whole point is that the door is...
Well, but the Night's Watch didn't even believe in giants, right?
Yeah, lots of stories about it.
But they all thought they were fairy tales.
But still, I mean, if one giant can do that, then that means that three giants could do it.
Yeah.
Relatively easily, if one giant can do it when he's really hot.
Yeah, I mean, if one giant can do it, then what keeps 20 men and a lever from doing it, right? But I don't think they ever intended for 20 men to be able to set up a lever to lift the door, right? They should be able to defend from that kind of siege. Yeah, it was good stuff. I like when they dropped that
the
anchor
sky
thing, the sky thing.
Yeah.
And took out the climbers. It was a heck of a battle episode. Can you imagine how much work went into
A lot of work. An interesting thing about it is, you know, it's a victory, which has been rare this season, but it's also sort of a short-lived victory in terms of, well, we got through today.
Mm-hmm.
What does tomorrow have in store?
Yeah, I mean, they've lost, you know, they're licking their wounds, right? They're down men, and the enemy has learned a lot of their tactics. Yeah, can't be good. Can't be good at all.
I'm interested to see what your reaction is to next week's episode, because next week has a lot to happen.
A lot of, I mean, just to tide things over for the break, yeah. A lot should happen, right? Yeah. You need to figure out if Sansa and Arya are going to mm-hmm. connect or miss each other.
Sure.
You need to figure out whether Tyrion, they can't drag out Tyrion's execution until next season. There has to be something there, whether he gets summarily executed mm-hmm. or somehow avoids that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of expect that, like, just like how Robb Stark was summarily executed, mm-hmm. right? There was, like, no chance of escape or anything. Now, the glance you just gave me, you probably know something about Tyrion, but, you know, I kind of expect that he's just going to be summarily executed, because that's the way the show is, you know? If it was a Hollywood movie, you know, Jaime would betray the family, save Tyrion, go over to the Baratheons, and then come back and take over King's Landing, or something like that, you know, if it was a Hollywood movie.
As the guy who plays, what's his name? The guy who plays Roose, what's his son's name?
I don't know the character's name, hardly at all.
Roose Bolton's son is, you know, the guy who was torturing Theon.
Right, right.
As he says at one point, if you think this has a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention. That should be kind of the motto of Game of Thrones.
Right, right.
Just remember that.
I know. So, yeah. I mean, like, I fully expect that Tyrion's going to be summarily executed, and there's not even a try of escape, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, that's kind of what I expect from the show. So anything, if he gets away somehow, you know, it would be like, yay, someone finally wins, at least for a day. Besides those.
Well, that's what happened last week, right? Yeah, someone won at least for a day, although Ygritte had to die because of it. But there's also, I mean, there.
Did you see the tweet? I don't know if George R. Martin tweeted it, or whether it was a parody. But he's like, you know, I'm running behind deadline for this book, so I did this whole chapter from the point of view of who's the dim guy that carries Brent around?
Hodor.
So it showed, like, chapter 15. Hodor.
Actually, George R. R. Martin does have a new Twitter account that just started, but the one you see is a fake account. I mean, it's funny, though.
It was really funny, yeah. Like, Hodor.
As I can see, you know, they have to move forward the Tyrion line, mm-hmm. that plot line. They have to move forward the Arya plot line. They have to figure out something to do with the Daenerys plot line.
I thought Daenerys could be tied over till next season. I don't think she really needs to move forward.
It probably could.
It'd be nice to see Brant again.
So that may Bran. Yeah, Bran. They have to try to do something with the Bran, because that he hasn't been seen. They have to figure out the end of the Wall plot line, or at least the continuation of what's going on there.
Don't expect to see Jon Snow get anywhere until next season. But
they have to. What else is there? Brienne.
Who's Brienne?
Brienne and Podrick. She's the girl who is with Pod, and they're searching for Sansa. They don't necessarily have to do anything with that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. We get the Baratheons and the redheaded booby witch, right?
Oh, yeah. The Stannis stuff. So they got to figure out what's going on with Stannis, because, you know, last we saw he was at the Iron Bank. And so that's a lot to cover.
Yeah.
It's going to be
I expect we don't see Daenerys.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect we don't see Brienne. I mean, I think a lot of people want to see if Arya.
I don't see how you can't have Dany, because that's one of the people that most people are really interested in.
What's she gonna do? I mean, no one's gonna be happy until she sails across the Narrow Sea and, you know, lays waste upon King's Landing.
Well, I have bad news for you.
No.
Okay. You shouldn't be expecting that anytime soon, because it hasn't happened yet in the books, and we're 2 books off.
Oh, I thought you meant bad news, like, oh, she gets her throat slit by a gray worm.
She's not getting killed. By the time this shows up, the last episode will have already aired, because it airs tomorrow. So people will understand. I mean, look, but the thing is that Dany, I mean, look, in the book, she hasn't left where she is. Mm-hmm. Technically, the next 2 books only cover 1 period of time. So technically, those 2 books could be condensed into 1 season. So I'm really only about a season ahead of you. But I know the answer to all these, but some of them might surprise you.
Please don't spoil them.
I'm not going to. I'm trying to think if there are any other stories that need to be, that really do need to be covered. I mean, there will be some stuff involving Dorne, but that doesn't start until next season, probably.
What characters do we...
Well, Oberyn was from Dorne. Oberyn. The guy who died for Tyrion.
Right, right, right. I mean, but now that he's dead, are there any other characters that tie us back to Dorne? I mean, other than, I guess, his woman friend.
His woman friend is there, but the only other thing is that Myrcella, who is the other daughter of Cersei, is in Dorne.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But Dorne starts to take a larger role in the story as this continues, so you'll see more stuff in Dorne.
Oh, I mean, what's his name? The guy Dany kicked out.
Oh, Jorah.
Jorah, that's it.
Yeah, what happens to him? That can probably wait till next season.
Mm-hmm.
The Dany stuff can probably wait. There is something that happens and it probably will happen, because they have to kind of put something with the dragons this season. There is something that happens with the dragons, so that thing will happen tomorrow.
Okay.
You'll get something happening with Tyrion. You'll get something happening with Bran. You'll get something happening with the Wall.
Really? I thought they'd be done with the Wall. I mean, after last week, I mean, I figured they would just let it go with that.
And you'll get something happening with Stannis, and you'll get something happening with Brienne.
That's a packed episode. Holy crap.
Yeah. It's a 15-minute extra. There's extras, lots of stuff going on in this episode. It's going to be a packed episode. It's going to kind of be different than all the other last episodes of the seasons, which were sort of cool downs. This one's going to be a lot of stuff. And then there's going to be a surprise, if everything goes like I think it should, that will...
I mean, a non-book surprise, or...
No, it's a surprise to the TV audience, but it's something that is probably the last surprise that the book audience knows that can be put into a TV show. Everything else... After this episode, if everything goes as I think it will, after this episode, there's not much else that, like, a book reader could spoil.
Okay.
So this will be an interesting episode if everything happens as it did, because this is really the end of the third book, and the end of the third book was very, very, very busy. So, yeah. Pretty much all of this will be covered, although not Dorne. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And probably not Jorah. But pretty much everything else will be covered.
Well, that's going to be a good episode, though.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff for tomorrow.
Save Tyrion. Save Tyrion.
The World Cup is happening right now. Did you see the John Oliver FIFA thing?
No. The only thing I've seen so far is the Oatmeal did a thing about non-sports people, and he opens his laptop and he just gets like buried in soccer balls, you know. Like, can't do anything without like World Cup fever.
Watch if you can last week's episode of because there's an amazing sort of takedown of FIFA and how horrible they are, and yet people are still excited for the World Cup because, hey, it's football. I wanted to ask this question. You're a big hockey fan.
Yeah, and the LA Kings won the Stanley Cup last night.
I'm a big baseball fan. And we've talked about this before, but we never actually talked about it. We've covered it, but I don't know if we actually got into it. But I'm not a huge hockey fan. I get why it's exciting, but I just, you know, I don't know a lot of things that goes on that go on in hockey. I don't understand line changes and that sort of thing. Similarly, you get the basics of baseball, but you don't understand a lot. Mm-hmm. I try to tell you, you know, I think that there's something to the idea that I need to watch hockey with you, and you need to watch baseball with me, and both of us need to sort of describe what you actually should be watching. Because when you jump into just a baseball game and not know mm-hmm. what you actually should be watching, you're lost, and right. you're looking for some activity, and baseball seems like it has really low activity, and hockey just seems like everyone's moving around like crazy without really paying attention to. It's like everyone just happens to be in certain situations, right. but that's clearly not how it works. And baseball, it wouldn't have the kind of fans it did if it was just, oh, you know, lazy for most of the time and then, you know, a home run every once in a while.
Right.
So there's something about the idea that really you should watch these sports. And I think that the same thing, you know, applies to soccer. We should watch these sports with someone who really knows soccer mm-hmm. and can tell us what to look for. And what we should be looking out for. Like, I tried to explain it to you before. You probably don't remember. But even if you do, you know,
I remember. I mean, every time I watch baseball, I remember the conversation we had about, you know, it's a battle between the batter and the pitcher and all that. So, I mean, I try to watch. I still can't. I don't have the skill. But I try to watch what the pitcher's doing, anticipate the pitcher, you know. Like, you know. Maybe not from the batter's point of view, but like, you know, watch. Okay, so it counts this. He pitched here, here, and here.
Yeah.
Where he'll pitch next. But, you know, I don't think I still have enough.
It gets really interesting. Like I said, baseball with a good pitcher gets really interesting because you start to try to predict what he's going to do in a certain pitch. And that's the kind of thing that seems like really. It seems to an outsider like yeah, that's really. Too far into it, but that's kind of that is very much what the game is about. The people who are skilled are like, okay, he just threw a fastball here, you know. But it's a 1-1 count. What do you do then? There are two runners on base. There's all these things mm-hmm. that add into it,
right?
You're trying to get, you know, maybe you throw a if you throw a slider, it better be a good slider. Maybe throw a curve, it's going to be slow. Or maybe throw a changeup because he's seen two fastballs. His changeup looks like a fastball coming out of the pitcher's hand, but it's a lot slower. Maybe that'll cause him to swing and miss, and then you get into an advantageous count. Those kind of things. Mm-hmm. I think that...
Why don't TV announcers do a better job of telling that story?
Because it's a lot. It's a lot to...
But, I mean... If there's any sport where there's time for the TV announcer to tell that story.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, if they did that every time, then you would get sick of them, right? I mean, the people who listen to baseball announcers are not new listeners, right? They're not, they don't need to hear every time how the game works. So that would get pretty boring pretty quickly. You'd get pretty fed up because you want to hear the intricacies. So that's why baseball announcers don't do it. It'd be cool if there was sort of an option to
upgrade the announcer.
Well, I don't know that, but I mean, like, if I were running MLB.com, I'd make a series of videos about baseball, and I'd make it about, you know, I'd try to be entertaining and you know, have lots of cool video explanations about how things work and what to look for and certain situations that may come up. Because that's really what baseball is all about. It's sort of a unique thing in sports, is this pitcher-batter thing. It doesn't really happen in a lot of other sports, and certainly a lot of other team sports. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can compare it to is... the closest thing I can compare it to is a hockey penalty thing where, you know, it's the goalie and one...
Right.
And one guy. So imagine that, but a game full of that.
Yeah, I mean, there's that, but I mean, you know, when there's a penalty shot, everyone else is off the ice, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not a team sport anymore. It's just just a shootout, right? It's just two people,
right,
you know, doing their thing.
Yeah, it's not the same, so, because
yeah, I mean, all this other baseball stuff, has a lot of things that are. I don't know the cricket rules very well, so I don't know how similar baseball is to
cricket. I think baseball evolved from cricket, so they're probably similar situations.
Right. So, I mean, but I mean, aside from maybe the cricket connection, there's a lot of things. The field shape, the non-determinant time period, you know, all that stuff. You know, it's almost a merit-based time period, merit-based progression of the game, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, right? You know, it's very different from...
It's where that Yogi Berra quote, "It's not over until it's over," actually means something in baseball.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in football, for example. In
hockey, it means you can try, but it's still going to be over.
Yeah. I mean, if you're down by three and there's a minute left, you're not going to win.
No, that one you can win.
You could, but...
No, if you're down by three and there's a minute left and the other team has the ball, no, you can't win because they're going to take three knees, right?
Right,
it's first down, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there's ways around it. But
if you're down by four and you're down to your last out in baseball, it's still possible to win that game.
Let's think about... So most sports have two goal lines. Or goals, or
most sports have are rectangle or some sort of rectangle.
But they have two goals. But I want to develop this thought a little bit more, right? I mean, there's a lot of sports that probably evolved from a very similar point, right? Hockey and soccer probably came from a very similar place. Right?
But lacrosse seemed to have developed independently.
Well, That's where I'm going. Is lacrosse developed independently? My first question is: was Native American lacrosse on a rectangle with two goals, or was it morphed into that, right? So
no, I believe it was a big... I mean, it was like miles you could do, and there were... I don't think there was a specific side. It was just...
Right.
From what I understand, and from what I remember about reading about it, lacrosse developed... You know, lacrosse was a big kind of like tribe versus tribe... game where they did a game instead of killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it was big and huge and it was not the same kind of thing.
So like that was the question and you beat me to it by bringing up lacrosse. My question was the lacrosse we see today, is that taking a game with handheld nets and a ball and turning it into soccer hockey?
Yes.
Or is that what developed independently?
I think that's what it is. I think that's your answer, is that, it's taking a concept, net and ball, and I don't even know how close that is to the original sort of lacrosse. It was probably something that probably the lacrosse is closer to sort of a practice version of the lacrosse they had, mm-hmm. where they were, you know, practicing with net and balls or whatever, and that turned into a mm-hmm. game as opposed to what the original thing was, but...
And I wonder if the original is, I mean, most...
A lot by the of, way, this is not as... This is
this one's not as oxidized, but there's still a coconut.
Yeah.
Yeah. The, you know, a lot of games, golf, whatnot, you know, evolved from using weapons in competition, right?
Yes.
So a lacrosse stick may or may not have had a net. It might have been just a stick with a scoop on it or something, mm-hmm. right? But it was probably a sling type weapon to hunt with or something like that. So,
yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, all these games have sort of turned into, you know, baseball and I guess cricket are the only ones that didn't turn into a rectangle that has two sides mm-hmm. and a goal. I mean, even like tennis is still sort of a rectangle. It is. I mean, it's not sort of. It is a rectangle. There are other games, obviously. I mean, the only one that comes to mind for some reason is curling. That's obviously not a... I mean, it is kind of a rectangle, but it's not...
I mean, it's two sides. It's shuffleboard, basically. Shuffleboard, bocce, curling, lawn bowling. What's the Canadian one called? It's like lawn bowling. Use balls. I forget the name of it. But, I mean, they're cornhole. right? I mean, it's the same setup as, mm-hmm. as all those games where you have your teammates are on opposite ends and you're competing against a different team who's right. also on opposite ends. And it's all about proximity to the goal and trying to get more, more of your things closer than the closest opponents or something like that, right? So all those games are the same. So they're all variations of the same thing. Curling has a little, has the brushing, right? So you can kind of, this aftertouch type notion, mm-hmm. right? Where after it's gone, you can control, can guide it in somehow.
Bowling, slightly different, but it's not really a team sport. What other team sports? Are there any other team sports that don't take place on a rectangle type environment? I guess you could say golf is sort of a team sport if you team up, but that's more sort of individual.
I mean, you have group together. Various kinds of races, right? Right. Roller derby is a right. team sport, but it's more of a race, right? Yeah. Did we talk about pedestrianism?
No.
So that's very fascinating. I heard a story on NPR a while ago about pedestrianism, and it was a sporting event. They were a week long. Basically, they had these guys in these arenas, and it was you couldn't gamble on Sundays. So pedestrianism. Nice. Picture Harrison Ford saying, "I shot first." Yes. No, he didn't shoot first. You shot.
You shot.
Yeah. Greedo didn't even pull his gun mm-hmm. out. Anyway, pedestrianism. It was a thing back in like the late 1800s, I think, like probably 1850s, 1870s, maybe 1890s. In certain places like New York City, you couldn't gamble on Sundays. So the race would start at like 12 midnight on Monday morning, and they would go through to 11:59 Saturday night, and it was whoever walked the farthest. And so people would eat and pee and poop and nap as they needed, but you have to balance that with not walking far, right? So you would just walk around in circles, and it was a big deal. And what made the fall of pedestrianism was the safety bicycle. The bicycle that we know of today, instead of the ones with the big front wheels, mm-hmm. The ones with the two equal size wheels, because the crashes were more spectacular in bicycle races. Hmm. So bicycle racing.
So sort of like NASCAR in a sense.
Bicycle racing won out over pedestrianism because it was more exciting because the crashes were more spectacular.
Pull up your Amazon Anonymous and let's see if we can get...
I'm not allowed to open Chrome. You yelled at me.
Pull up Firefox.
Then I won't be able to get into Amazon. I won't be able to log in.
You know, that's something that's new. I
only use Chrome day to day, so I only have LastPass.
So this is new for me.
What, a passcode on your phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I now have a Google Authenticator on the phone for my email at work.
Okay.
So I had to lock it, and I'm realizing now that my complaints about...
You have Touch ID on that phone?
No.
Oh, okay.
So it's only a 5. I'm realizing now that my complaints about having to enter in a lock every time were a little bit overstated, because I don't find it annoying at all. And I thought it would be, so annoying.
And you can set it where,
it's every 15 minutes, so it doesn't...
Okay, so mine's actually set to, 3 minutes or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not hard. Actually, one tip for you. I doubt you want to change it, but I haven't verified this independently. If you set your phone's password, so if you use a password instead of a PIN, but you set it to all numbers, it'll still give you the dial pad to unlock. Oh. So you could do a 8-digit PIN and not have to have the stupid tiny little keyboard, which makes it really hard to unlock.
Yeah.
So that's a really nice feature.
You're talking about the Apple password, not the...
Your phone password.
Oh, the phone...
You can say use a complex password instead of a PIN.
Oh, yeah, because I have a simple passcode.
And I would never recommend it to anybody, because I did it once on an Android, and it got rid of the big dial pad, and it was a tiny little keyboard, and it was such a pain in the ass to enter your password on a tiny little keyboard. But on Apple, if you make it all numbers, so you make it 8 or 9 numbers, you get the dial pad, the one you just showed me, mm-hmm. right? And that's great, right? Because then you can unlock an 8-numbered thing instead of just a 4-digit PIN.
I think 4 is enough.
Yeah, because you only get 10 before it locks for a few times. You know, it's not like someone can brute force it 1,000 passwords a second. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. So.
So what I've done now is I followed your advice, mm-hmm. and I bought the LastPass
premium,
which only $12.
Yeah,
I thought it was gonna be like a monthly fee of like $3 or $4. But no, it was only $12. It was $1 a year.
Yep,
that's not fair.
$1 a month, $12 a year.
Yeah, and so now I have access to all my passwords easily. It means that I can change all my dumb easy passwords mm-hmm. for all and these things.
Not saying,
and it also means I can set up a whole bunch of cool apps that I never would have bought before because I had to remember passwords.
Right. So the one thing that's really nice, the one thing they do really well, and this might not be applicable to you, is but if your work was using LastPass Enterprise, on your work LastPass Enterprise account, you can link in your personal account, and they have a really good firewall. Like it doesn't log your logins for your personal password, shared passwords, and stuff like that. It really does it the right way. Because we have LastPass Enterprise. Mm-hmm. We're starting to roll it out at work. And I link in my personal account. So like on my work Chrome profile, all my passwords are there. On my home Chrome profile, it only has my home passwords. And then if I look at like my what Big Brother can do, it shows me all the logins for everyone in their work account. But if they have a linked account like to PNC Bank or something like that, those don't show up.
Mm-hmm.
And they really do.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, LastPass is great because it really... it's a great way of making sure that all your passwords are ridiculous for places that you really don't want to have an easy password. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the only one that you can't change, you can't make into a ridiculous password, ridiculous in terms of like not easy to remember and not easy to figure out, exactly. Is Apple.
Yeah.
Because you have to type in it all the time on your phone.
The only thing that would be a little bit better is if you could have the Chrome or the Safari on your phone have a LastPass plugin instead of having to use the LastPass web browser, right?
Well, what I do is I go to the LastPass, I find it, I copy it, and I paste it.
Well, that works too. Yeah. But I mean, if you try using the LastPass browser, it form fills, right? So that's nice, but you're also using the LastPass browser, which is not Chrome. It's not Safari. It's okay, but it's not Chrome or Safari.
Yeah. What else? Is there what do you have for on your authenticators? Because I only have one thing, which is Google itself. I know you because I saw you had to get like 20. It was crazy.
I have a bunch.
Five, something like
so
that.
I don't even have my phone in my pocket right now. I have my work Google account,
uh-huh.
my home Google account. I have Duo Security, which is a two-factor authentication for VPN and stuff like that.
Okay.
I have Amazon Web Services. I have Microsoft, I have Dropbox, I have...
Dropbox, that has a security in
yep.
it? What does that add to? Is that its own, or does that add to the Google thing?
It uses OTR, it would just be another one in your Google Authenticator. Okay,
because what is the Google... I mean, is there anything the Google Authenticator is useful for besides Google?
Yeah, you can load in anything that uses OTR, or not OTR, OTH... OTH. Anything uses that 6-digit code. After we get off the air, I'll show you my phone. Maybe I'll give you some ideas of other accounts you have. But yeah, Dropbox, your Microsoft login account, your Amazon login account.
So like that could be your Hotmail?
I use it for MSDN type stuff. I don't know about Hotmail.
Was the other one they said Dropbox? There was another
Dropbox, Amazon. Well, this is specifically for Amazon Web Services. My login account doesn't. My Amazon shopping account doesn't use it. It's for AWS. We'll take a look after we get off the air.
I might want to put my regular Google account on this, but I don't. I mean,
you really.
I have a Dropbox.
You really should two-factor your Google account too.
Yeah, I'd like to two-factor everything I can,
mm-hmm.
but not a lot of things offer.
Yeah, so I don't use Google Authenticator. The Duo Security guys, the one I was talking about, they have an app that's just like that. Duo works like Google Authenticator, but then the Duo-enabled services like our VPN and LastPass, the work LastPass actually hooks up through Duo, they have a push type thing. So instead of you having to pull out your phone and get the code and type the code into your computer, it'll do a push and you'll get a push notification on your phone and it'll say, Jeff Bear is trying to log into LastPass. Do you accept this? And you just hit yes. So that's the nice thing about Duo.
That reminds me of one of the cool things that Damien showed me about the new OS 7 for your phone and the
OS
new
8?
OS 8 for your phone and the new Apple one, which is called something.
Yosemite.
It can do something where if there's a phone number, you can click it and it'll dial on your phone. Mm-hmm. That's something I've always wanted because the closest thing to that is Skype right now.
Well, there's Google Voice. You can have Google Voice call your phone from your computer.
Call your phone from your computer. But what this is...
No, I mean, So you click the phone number in your web browser, and Google will call you and connect the call, and then it'll call the party you wanted to call and connect them.
See, that's not what I want.
Well, it's just about the same thing. You just have to wait 3 more seconds.
Well, no, I want it to be... I want to also have a record in my phone that I dialed this number.
Google Voice app, it shows you dialed it.
Well, I mean, but what I want is...
Yeah, I mean, but getting back to your point, I might actually drop Google Voice once I get all this shit. Mm-hmm. Because Google Voice still can't do MMS. So if you send a picture to my Google Voice number, guess what? I won't get any notification that you tried to send the picture. And you won't get any notification that it didn't fucking work. And it's so annoying. It's like... Oh, fuck you, Google.
So text works, but pictures don't?
Yeah, if you send me a text to my Google Voice number, that works fine. But if you send a picture, it drops on the floor. No one knows it didn't
work. That's annoying.
Yeah. It's fucking 2014. I mean, people have been asking for MMS support since 2006.
At least now most cell plans have an unlimited option. Yeah. It shouldn't be as pricey as it
is. But, the main reason, the thing I like about the Google Voice is the portable number. You know, when someone calls my Google Voice number, I can answer it on my cell phone, I can answer it on my work phone, or I can answer it through the Google Hangouts Talk app on my computer and do VoIP with it.
And you don't have to give away your actual cell phone number.
And, if I change carriers, well, you can transport your... number.
But I mean, also, if a spammer or someone you don't want got hold of your number,
you can blacklist them.
Or you could also be like, you could change number that it goes to. There's a lot of cool things you can do with Google Voice.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the thing. But the features they're bringing out in Apple now, I might drop Google Voice. Mm-hmm. And the only pain is I've been giving out my Google Voice number for years now. Almost the entire lifetime of Craft Beer Radio, if not the entire lifetime of Craft Beer Radio. So the whole promise of Google saying you never have to give people a new phone number. If I pull out a Google Voice, I have to give people my Verizon phone number. So I have to make that change. If they supported MMS, I don't think I would really worry about it. I would just stick with what I got. Because, there's lots of times where I have a phone number in my email and I'll click it. And I have Chrome and the Google Voice app in my Chrome will say, which number do you want me to connect this to? And I say, desk phone. And it rings my desk phone. And I pick it up and I wait 3 seconds and it calls the person I wanted to call.
So let's clarify. Google Voice is free.
Yeah.
So you could keep the Google Voice number and get an Apple number, assuming it's free, whatever, and just tell new people your Apple number. And tell people when you meet
people
them,
I actually work with. I mean, there's not.
So you can keep your Google number.
Yeah, it's not like I'm going to lose phone calls from someone who calls me once every 5 years. Yeah. I'm not too worried about that. Yeah, it's not a big deal. But yeah, I mean, the stuff they're doing in Yosemite and iOS 8 is pretty neat. It's interesting because some of it is catching up.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is catching up, but then improving upon what's available.
That's the typical Apple route.
And then there's some things that are brand new. But, there's a ton of catch up in this release, in these releases. But there's also a little bit of catching up and improving. And then there's some brand new stuff. Like, I also might drop Flickr for their cloud storage and photos and stuff like that. Unfortunately, my Flickr account needs renewed before the end of the month. So I'm going to have to buy another year of Flickr either way, I think. But, you know, Flickr has not innovated shit.
How much does Flickr cost?
I think it's $25 a year or something like that. Flickr hasn't innovated shit. They're starting to, but they still haven't innovated shit in like 10 years. And, yeah, with the new iCloud stuff, I don't know. I have to see, I know how many photos I have on Flickr, but I don't know how much space it takes up. Mm-hmm. And so switching to iCloud is, I need to know how much space it's going to take to how much I have to subscribe to. Okay, we're back. Took a little pee break. What were we talking about before we left?
Something about... we were talking about Apple and
oh,
voice.
Apple. Voice, yeah. 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 I think we expired that one. That's good. You want to do Amazon Anonymous?
I think it's interesting that somebody bought a couple Sriracha stuff. Somebody bought a...
Women's t-shirt?
A women's t-shirt and... What I find might be really cool, it might be, they say it's a gag gift, but it actually might be kind of cool, which is this this lip balm, Sriracha lip balm. Who wants a spicy garlic lip balm? And apparently that doesn't have a lot of garlic and it's just sort of spicy. But I think that actually, if you kiss somebody and there's sort of a spiciness there, that might actually be pretty cool. that might actually work. So I don't know. It's funny.
So, do you have an item?
I thought I did, but then I realized that I think I did this one before.
Did the sunglasses last time, I think, right?
But didn't I do a rock tumbler before?
Yeah, I think we did talk about the rock tumbler.
So...
You remember we were reading the reviews or whatnot about the...
Yes.
Oh, it wasn't the tumbler. It was the bag of agate.
The bag of... Yeah. So somebody bought something for use of that bag, yes. I think. But, yeah. That last week was, man, that was fun. I'm sure it got old for people, but for us, it was nothing but...
All the stones.
God, oh, my God. That was awesome. Put that up.
Okay.
I want to listen to that again, because I loved it. Do you have something you picked out?
I'll go with the...
You should go with the what you picked.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Super Pet... Ferret, comfort harness, and stretchy leash. It only gets 2.5 stars out of 5. 116. The picture here has a rat wearing a harness and a stretchy leash.
Like a couple days ago, I was reading about rats as pets, and apparently they're great pets. Because they're...
Oh, that's the small one. The medium one shows a ferret.
Yeah.
The large one shows
a bunny. Medium monster is a bunny. But so apparently the rats are... The only bad thing about rats... Well, there are two bad things about rats. One, people just have a natural aversion to them because they think they're dirty. But they're no dirtier than a mouse, really. And second is that they only live like 2 years. They're not... But apparently they're empathetic. They have real personalities. Okay. They're much better than like a hamster or a gerbil. Mm-hmm. In that sort of
right.
And I could totally see that.
I mean hamsters suck,
yeah,
from what I read. Gerbils are better, but they also live like 9 years, something like that.
Yeah, we had guinea pigs when I was growing up because we couldn't have...
Oh, guinea pigs or something. I'm not sure. I guess gerbils probably meant pretty much like a hamster.
Yeah.
Hamsters suck. Guinea pigs are
not much, but they didn't have really much personality. But apparently rats do. And rats are pretty cool, and I would, I'm curious.
So, the most helpful customer review is 2 stars. Don't expect this to stay on a rat. Though the packaging depicts fitting snugly on this small-sized version on cover, blah, 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 blah. My 4 rats managed to definitely wiggle her way out of it in a matter of minutes. So, doesn't work for a rat.
Might work for a ferret or a bunny.
Bunnies seem to like it. 5 stars for a bunny.
There's a 1 star here. Harnesses are dangerous for guinea pigs. So if you have guinea pigs, not good.
I like how it's like, and stretchy leash. All right. So what do you got? Torquewrench? Torquewrench, anyone?
Is there anything interesting? Besides, I mean, that rock tumbler was cool, but I think I already talked about that or talked about one before. How about this tactical kit? This TRX Force Kit Tactical. It's got a... It's a workout program. I'm not even sure really what it is. This is a TRX manufactured project. When you buy the TRX Force Tactical, when sold as the Force app is included, you get a code to download a full version on your mobile device. I'm not even sure what this... It looks like it's actually exercise equipment, but it's...
It's supposed... like straps you hang from, like, to do upper body stuff? I don't know. Is suspension it... trainer, yeah. So it's like two loops you hang from your, you know, like your biceps or triceps from.
We're looking at it, initially it looks kind of like army stuff, but I guess not really. It says tactical, so I thought, oh, it's like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it's just marketed to be army stuff.
But so suspension trainer, they have two DVDs containing three real-time workouts, a door anchor, and a Force Super app. So it's just for exercise, and it's definitely different than what I expected when I first looked at it. But cool. Thank you for ordering it. Thank you, everybody.
I wish I could still get credits for what I bought on Amazon.
Yeah,
I bought a few stuff this week.
Me too. I bought a new electric shaver because I'm going to go back to that.
Okay. Let's see what did I buy. I bought an inner tube for the bike. I got my bike. So remember how I broke my bike tire when I had that little pothole accident a couple months ago down Lawrenceville? I'm sure I talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Scratched up arms, whatnot.
Yes.
I went to Bicycle Heaven, which is like this bicycle shop museum over on the north side, and got a new tire for $27. Pretty good deal. So I had to buy a new inner tube. So I got that. What else did I buy? I brought all kinds of cool stuff I can't think about right now. Oh, I got this speed loader, this loader for my magazines for my pistol. I should go get it. It's going to be hard to describe. I'm not going to get the pistol. I'm going to get the loader. Yeah. But did you load any of the magazines?
Yeah, it was hard.
It was really hard, right? So this is the thing that slips over the magazine, and it has this little, like, tongue on it, right? And once you put the first bullet in, it has a hinge. So you push it in and it pushes the bullet down, right? So then it gives you space. You just slide the bullet in, you let it out, go up, down. So it's this loader thing. I went shooting with a neighbor of mine a couple weeks ago and he showed me his. It's a Lula. It's made in Israel. And those Israelis know how to make fucking weapons, don't they?
They do.
And yeah, it's great for loading magazines.
I'll show you the stuff that I recently bought on Amazon. It's ridiculous because we could have gotten money off and I couldn't. So I bought for our Pathfinder night. There's a Battle Grid game mat. It's useful. It's only $20, but it's cool. A bunch of micro USB cables for like $10. Got 5 of them.
Okay,
and they're cool because then I also got these, which are iPhone 5 Lightning things to put go onto
USB. How much are those?
Those are only $7 or $8
for three or
for three.
Wow, those aren't catch fire and burn your house down.
Maybe. So what else did I get? Though then I also got some miniatures for use. Like one of our guys is a gunslinger, so I got one of them. One of our guys is a dwarf thing. These are all like $5 each, but still, I mean, they would have added something to it. And then here's my stuff for work. I got gel keyboard wrist rest, mouse pad, and wrist cushion. I like having a mouse pad, even though they're pointless. I just like having a surface.
You like having a boundary for your mouse?
It's not too much of a boundary, but if you just use it on a table, those Teflon stickers they put on there, they get used up real quickly.
Okay.
But if you put on a mouse pad, they don't get used up.
So is this like a felt and foam thing, or is this one of those more like 3M, like plasticky things, like precision?
No, this is a plain old foam. But that's fine, because it just, you know. Mm-hmm. I had a Zippo lighter that I have, and I haven't had a wick for it for like 2 years. So I bought some wicks. Because they're cheap. It's like $5 for a 6-pack of wicks and flints. I got this for Cards Against Humanity. This is a big box that I can fit all of them in.
Okay. It looks like a hockey card box or something like that. Like a
baseball card could box. Be used for that too, but it works for Cards Against Humanity. Mm-hmm. And then here's my shaving stuff. So I got this Norelco AT830 Power Touch that could work in the shower. I have a lubricant spray for it that was like $9, and then an electric shave, free shave, and I already have an aftershave, so I don't need that. But so I got these stuff. That they should arrive soon. This is a pretty expensive razor because they now found mm-hmm. I got paid. I'm like, I'm gonna buy something for me, and this razor is, you know, it's $80.
Mm-hmm. Better work good.
Yeah. But you know, I kept looking at the back of the range. I saw, okay, this one. But they all said, this one is the best one. So I said, okay.
So another thing I bought is that right behind your computer is a 2-terabyte hard drive.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
I bought that so I could back up my other hard drive, which has all my media on it. I'm using CrashPlan. And now that the backup is synced over my gigabit Ethernet network, take that to my mom's house and have it back up over the cloud, keep things at the sink. So, you know, when shit hits the fan and the house burns down... Mm-hmm. At least I won't lose all of my data also. I'm sure the data is not going to be a super high important thing when my house burns down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy enough to put it off-site.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to just take it to my mom's house. You know, could also go to your house, that kind of thing. But, you know, it could be anywhere. So I got that. I got a Speedo swim shirt. I don't know. I'm kind of a... Not just because... I'm a big fan of swim shirts just because I don't have to keep up on sunscreen and stuff like that, right? I had one last year. It was kind of an off name. Took it camping, and it got, like, stains across it and wouldn't, like, or big orange stains, like, in the middle of the week. I'm like, what the fuck? It, like, wouldn't come clean. We brought it home and washed it, still wouldn't come clean. So I bought a Speedo name brand this time, and I got a dark one instead of a white one.
So if you get stains again, then you're going to... Now it's your sweat's fucked up or something.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, actually, I didn't buy this, but something Heather bought is Handcraft Boys 2-7 Clone Wars 5-pack underpants.
Your son loves Star Wars.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've seen these. I didn't know she bought them on Amazon, but yeah, there's the Clone Wars underpants right there.
Did we talk about the penis rock?
We haven't talked about the penis rock.
So apparently this is actually hyped up to you, right? Because your kids were saying that you had a penis rock.
Yeah, I heard about before the whole experience Greg experienced.
Yeah, and then I walked, this was last week, and they talked about a penis rock. And we were
so
like,
back in the backyard, down on the swing set, there's a little platform. And they have a pretty large collection of rocks down there. It's a rock collection. They keep it outside. And one of the gems of the collection... is the penis rock.
What they call a penis rock.
It doesn't look like the penis rock that you're imagining right now. But Max is uncircumcised, and he's seldomly erect. So imagine an uncircumcised, droopy...
Can penis get erect at this point?
They can. They have to pee a lot. They have to pee really bad, like morning wood type stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they'll get morning wood. Okay. So think of a droopy, uncircumcised penis, and it looks vaguely like that.
Not really. It's the same color, roughly, and there's this little rounded edge to it.
It looks vaguely like Max's uncircumcised penis, but
vaguely works. Yeah,
that story wasn't that great, was it?
It was interesting to us because we were like, because there's a build up and there's like a penis rock.
I've heard about the penis rock, but I hadn't seen it until you saw it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that really doesn't look like
it's just a rock. Yeah. There were more interesting rocks that they had. I wish I knew geology because I knew there was some interesting stuff about the rocks that they had, but I didn't know what was interesting
it's
about
it. It's funny how kids, anything that's porous, like with big pores in it,
mm-hmm.
kids always think it's a moon rock. I have a clear recollection of me as a kid finding these rocks, these basalt rocks, and thinking, these are moon rocks. You know, it's just something about those basalt rocks with those big pores.
Well, they're so foreign to what you're used to.
Yeah.
So immediately, since we have gone to the moon,
there's the assumption that that's a foreign place, and so you, I think mm-hmm. that's what, you know, it connects yeah. easiest.
But I mean, I remember having my own collection of these porous basalt moon rocks
mm-hmm.
at my parents' house as a kid, and Allison and Max, or Allison mostly, I think she's the one that deemed the moon rocks, did the exact same thing.
I wonder, where did she get all those rocks from? They weren't from your backyard, right? I mean, they've been from all over, right?
Yeah, I mean, she said she found a bunch of them under the deck. Like, a couple of those ones she found are the rocks that go in a grill. You know, the heat sink rocks they put over
sure.
a propane grill. So a lot of those porous basalt ones are from that. She hasn't brought... I don't know where she got most of the rocks. When I look at the amount of rocks that are on that platform, I'm like...
What I mean, one of them was really interesting. It had really distinct layers on it. It was clearly something that had been laid down over millennia. And one of them was a quartz one that had a bunch of different things inside of it, and black things.
The black and red quartz
yeah,
one? Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know where most of them came from.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So they're a rock collection. Speaking of cool, nerdy stuff, you'll probably get a kick out of this, but... kids are finally at the age where they're having a good time with geocaching. So we're doing the whole geocaching thing, watching out for muggles and all that shit.
There is an app for geocaching, I saw.
Yeah, yeah. You have to be a premium subscriber for the website and pay $10 for the app to get it. But the app is so nice. Geocaching used to take a lot of prep work. You would have to go onto the website. You would have to create a report for a bunch of caches. You would have to download the report as a GPX file, and then you would have to load that GPX file onto your GPS receiver. And that's a lot of work. I actually paid for a third-party program to make it a little bit easier. Because if you're a paid geocaching member, you can thing they call pocket queries, where it'll run these reports several times a week. And then this third-party app that I had... I don't think I set up this, but it could actually go into your email and look for the email that they sent you and download the app and get it onto the database. And then you plug in your GPS and it uploads it. It's still a lot of fucking work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with the app, you're someplace like today, Heather's grandpa died on Wednesday. So yesterday we were at the funeral home, two viewings. Today was the funeral. Oh my God, my kids started out so good. And by today, it was a nightmare. They just couldn't understand why they had to be quiet and good for so long.
But you know, it's cool. And Heather's like me. She had grandparents into her 30s.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she still has a step-grandma. Yeah, my last grandparent died in 95. So when I was in my teens, still 19 or something like that. Anyway,
we could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we could talk about that. The whole geocaching thing with the app, right? You're someplace. I was out in Freeport. You know, it was after the funeral. You went like, hey, let's see if there's any geocaches nearby. You log into the app. It shows you all the geocaches. There's none of that fucking prep work. It's so much more accessible to so many more people. Now, granted, you got to pay $10 for the app and then $15 a quarter for 3 months, that kind of thing, for the premium membership. But
if it makes your life that much easier and you do it all the time, it's worth it.
It's so worth it. The phone is accurate enough to get you to the caches. The best the phone will do is plus minus 16 feet. But that's once you learn like all the typical hiding places, unless it's a really, what they call evil caches, like just really hard to find. There was one today I just couldn't find either. It was gone. It hasn't been found since April, so either it was gone or it was seriously evil.
Sometime text me. I'd like to go with you on one of these cache hunts. I'm curious. Okay. I'm a curious muggle.
Yeah. the whole muggle thing.
Is that still going on? Do people still use that?
It's ingrained in the thing. Ugh. It's ingrained in... It's funny because geocaching wants to be inclusive. Like the thing that's in most of the caches is like, if you found this and aren't a geocacher, you're welcome to join us. Go to geocaching.com. You know, so if a muggle finds it, we're inclusive. But then there's the whole, like, there was a cache I tried to find yesterday on the way home. It was in a park and ride. And there was people... It was Friday. It was later. It was about 7 o'clock. But a lot of people were still getting dropped off at the park and ride.
Right.
Lots of transient traffic. And it's like, you know... Another common term for these kinds of caches is stealth required. You know, like, you don't want to be this obvious guy, because most people think you're looking for some kind of drug pickup or Russian spy pickup or something like that, right? So some of them are hard because of traffic. Like, down by work, there's a walking biking trail right across the street from my office, right? And there's a ton of caches along there. But if it's not a rainy day, it's like impossible to get a window to like walk into the weeds and grab the cash and stuff like that.
Here's my problem with the Muggle thing.
Other than the retarded name?
Well, I mean, the name comes from Harry Potter, right? So my problem is, okay, look, I understand having a name for some, for people who don't participate in your club. That's fine. I understand it being a cute name. That's fine too. What bugs me is they had to take it from... And I understand taking it from a piece of work, but taking it from an extremely popular piece of work that people are bound to recognize makes it just dumb. Taking it from Harry Potter makes it dumb. If they took it from, you know, A Tale of Two Cities or something, you know, if they took it from Shakespeare, they took it from Shakespeare, Henry V or something that wasn't, you know, Romeo and Juliet, right? If they took it from something like that, then okay, that's better. But to have the temerity to make yourself a separate class of people from other people, and then to do that and then use a cheap name that you got from those popular piece of work that's been in the past 10 years is just dumb.
You know, sure, I don't love the name. It sounds stupid. It sounds toyish, right? But there's also this weird dichotomy of inclusiveness and exclusiveness, right? It's like, you know, don't let the Muggles see what you're doing. Where wouldn't it be better if you said, hey, I'm geocaching. Come look at this, you know?
Imagine if astronomers called people who weren't astronomers Muggles, right? And don't let the Muggles see what you're doing. They have a telescope and shit out. It's like, no, you want people to enjoy.
I mean, that's
this.
The thing that doesn't make sense, right? So I'm not too worried. Like, today I was on a bike trail, found one, right? And the person was riding down the bike trail, saw me step out of the weeds all back onto the trail with this little box, right? Who knows? It's also helpful for me that I'm with two little kids.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be doing drug pickups.
Probably.
Well, I don't have meth mouth, so I'm not going to be doing drug pickups with kids, right? So
it could be cocaine.
Could be. But the kids are pretty into it now. Actually, one of the other things we bought was this Plano plastic ammo box here. So we're going to actually... Allie wanted to put out her own geocache, you know, hide it. So we bought that, and it's a good waterproof box. And maybe tomorrow we're going to go try to find a place in Cranberry Park to put out a geocache.
I need to find a nice lab coat, because that's going to be my Halloween costume. Going from Rick from Rick and Morty. Need a Halloween costume and a flask. That seems like it should be easy enough to do.
And a wig. Don't you need a wig?
I could just spike my hair or something, right? I mean, and use that gray spray or something.
Yeah. Yeah, gray spray, I guess.
So, grandparents...
Some drool.
To me, it was interesting to think back on it, because it's interesting to have them into your 30s, because, I mean, you love them when you're a kid. You love them when you're when you're really young. And even when you're in your early teens. But then they start to get really annoying, because you have to keep talking to them, and they're really very far removed from your life. And so you don't really have much to talk about, especially as you grow older. There's really nothing to talk about with them, and you have this sort of thing in the back of your mind, well, I gotta talk to them because I feel some sort of sense of obligation to talk to them.
I have that feeling with much of my secondary family and in my in-laws, you know, it's like my brother-in-law, Ted, he's good guy. But wait. I mean, he talks sports. I can't talk sports.
Right.
Hardly at all. He likes Sam Adams and stuff like that, but he doesn't want to talk beer, so I don't try to talk beer with him other than, you know, casual, like, oh, that's a good one. I've had that one, you know, or things like that. Yeah, there's like nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you can pick your friends, you can't pick your family, right?
It's so. Like we have nothing to, I mean, I like him, he likes me. There's like nothing, but like, we're not going to have anything to sit down and talk about. He's a kindergarten teacher slash principal. I think he's a principal now for the school, not actually teaching kindergarten. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's just sports. It's his thing, you know, and college sports and pro sports, Steelers. I can't talk Steelers 24/7. You know, like, hey, I watched the game. Yeah, it was fun. You know, that's about my
experience. So, but with grandparents, yeah. It was like, you know, they kind of, I don't know how to put it, but it was really weird. It was talking to them, especially as they got older and as I got less interested in placating them, you know, less being a kid and more interested in my own stuff. There was so much less talking about. They didn't look at the world the same way I did. They didn't, like, well, my grandparents on my mother's side would never talk about anything interesting to me. They weren't able to hold conversations. They were just, they talked about what they wanted to talk about. They wouldn't let you twitch the conversation.
Well, that's just your family in general, I think.
Yes. My grandmother was different for a while until she had a stroke, and then she changed. I mean, I used to have hour-long conversations with her. They used to be in death, but she changed after she had her stroke. It was, it gets tough at that point because, you know you care about them, but you're not really sure how much. And, you know, it's weird when they die because you're not as affected as you think you should be. You're affected, but it kind of feels like it doesn't feel, I mean, like if my parents were to die, that'd be a much different story than my grandparents. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel as close, even though I was closer to them than I am to just random people on the street and then I was to most other family members I have.
Right.
But
I mean, for me, let's see, actually I lied and I feel really bad. I said, oh, my grandparents died. I still have a step grandmother who's living. And,
I want to be completely honest. I didn't feel that terrible when my grandparents died.
My first grandparent died. I was probably only
my friend
8 to 10 years old.
Sorry, good.
And I don't know. I really didn't comprehend the whole thing. Right? I was too young to, I think, really. A combination of my age. Maybe I was younger. Combination of my age and just how closely were to, you know, it was my dad's mom, which we saw on a fair basis, but not all the time. I think maybe I was younger because I just really didn't comprehend the whole process of what was going on. It was the first relative funeral death thing that I had experienced. And then, let's see, after that, probably my dad's dad died next, and my dad's mom and my dad's dad were divorced, right? So I had a step-grandpa and a step-grandma, and he lived out in Ohio. We visited once a year, so I really wasn't that close to him at all, right? I saw him the least out of anyone, really. So that happened. No emotion, really. And then my mom's mom died. That was kind of crazy because she was healthy until she found some blood in her urine. She went to the hospital.
And it was quick. It was like a
crazy cancer.
Yeah.
Dead in like a week.
Huh.
Like, boom. Like,
yeah.
Crazy fast. I remember having a little bit of emotion. Not a ton. Maybe I was trying to be a tough guy and hold it back. And then when I was about 18 years old, 19 years old, 95, my grandpa died, my mom's dad. And that one just hit me hard.
Yeah.
really hit me hard. I remember the day after he died, I went to a concert out at Star Lake with my girlfriend at the time. And which concert was it? It might have been Van Halen. You can't pick what concert's going to be appropriate for a wake, right? But or was Dave Matthews? I don't know, one of those two. But I just remember, well, when he died, it was rough. And then this whole concert thing, I remember just breaking down. Like, I don't know if it was a sad song, slow song, whatnot. I can't remember the details. But yeah, so I was really, really torn when my mom's dad died. I think I was probably pretty much closest to him. And, you know, there's a, if I've ever said, I wish this person could see what I've become or what I'm doing now, it's for him. You know, I wish a couple of things just to see. I'd like to see me as an adult and what I've accomplished in my job. But it was also, well, he didn't drink good beer. He drank lots of beer. And I think he'd be fascinated about me homebrewing and the podcast and things like that. So,
I mean, when a close friend of mine died, that hit me stronger than anything else. Mm-hmm. And that was different than what my grandparents did. I mean, I remember being at work and hearing about him, it ruined the next 2 days. I was kind of in a haze because it was sudden, and it was just like, I'm never going to see him again. And it blew me away by how strong it hit me. And then it was a very interesting to look at it from a third person mm-hmm. perspective, what my reaction was compared to, you know, family. But I imagine if I had a sibling, you know, like my sister died suddenly or my niece or nephew or...
Well, I mean, that's kind of how my grandpa died. Suddenly, you know, I'm still pissed at random chance. He'd come up in the summers and visit. He would stay at our house. And he would, every summer, he would take a week and go up to Clarion or someplace like that and hang out with some of his friends. On the way up, he had a flat tire. Changed a tire himself. That set him up for a heart attack. That night, he woke up, had a heart attack. The Cookie, nickname of the guy he was staying with, Cookie, called the ambulance, but he was dead before he got to the hospital. And it was all set up by that flat, changing that flat tire. If he didn't have that blowout,
You can't be mad at random chance because random chance is why you're here.
I know. Well, I'm not getting into the whole scientific part. This is the more emotional part, right? Yeah. It's like if he just didn't have the flat tire, I would have had him for 5 more years, 10 more years.
I mean, random chance is probably why you're still alive as opposed to dead because
stop being a scientist, you know?
No, I can think of situations where if I was just, you know, an inch to one side, I could have been seriously hurt in a situation.
Yeah, but, you know, if he didn't have a flat tire, he would have been around for another several years, you know. It's just like, oh, that fucking flat tire. Heather's grandpa, the one that started this whole conversation, he's been in hospice care, or, you know, I would call it hospice care. I don't know whether it was technically hospice care, but probably for 4 years now. I mean, it's no surprise to anyone that he finally died.
Mm-hmm.
I do regret. I remember thinking, I should really sit down and, you know, do a new little interview, talk with Ron, you know, because he was in World War II, he was in Japan, you know, he was in the Asian front, and I just wanted to sit down and, like, interview him, talk to him before things got bad, you know, and then things got bad, and it's like, oh, missed that opportunity, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's all right.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Nothing, really. Kids were interesting. This is their first death, right? This is the same as when my grandma died. My first grandma died, right? And but this is their great-grandpa, which they've only... Either of them have only ever seen in the retirement home. And I told Heather a long time ago, because, like, they did this thing... It was a Christmas thing at the retirement home with the and Heather's. It's a big side of the family with a bunch of rednecks with a bunch of bastard children and all kinds of. It's just a crazy. It's just a crazy, obscene. I mean, it's just maniacal the mess that these kids are. And so we're there for Ron for Christmas, and he's hunched over in this wheelchair, and he just looks miserable.
Mm.
And he's not interacting with people. I'm like, I told Heather, I'm like, I will go with you up to the retirement home and spend time with your grandpa. If it's you, me, and the kids, anytime you want, I will never say no. But I'm never going to another one of these group family things. The only thing that it serves is to make the relatives feel that they're comforting this guy, you know? It's just bullshit. It's just a show. It's a parade. And so there was a couple times we just went up on ourselves and, you know, it's so much more sincere than going to this bullshit Christmas thing where, I mean, he was just, couldn't talk to anyone. It just made me so mad. They're like, why are, and they're like making each kid go up to him and try to, you know, talk to him and say, hey, Pappy V. It's like, anyway.
I hear you. Here you go.
Nice.
Let me just pick one of these.
Yeah, you might have to. I have to look at Rick and Morty to see exactly what Rick looks like.
It's kind of a bluish, but it's
it's basically. You have to customize. I mean, you have Einstein, and you have.
I think the closest one is this one. This,
yeah,
spiky hair thing. Like, so, we take a look at Rick and Morty. I take a look at the images.
Okay. Yeah, you almost need a. I mean, so the picture, the animation, right? You know, the best way to convert that to real life would almost be have like receding hairline, like a bit of a bald cap, and then then gray around the edge. So you'd almost want to find one with a bald cap, the forehead.
They have those, like this one.
Yeah, that would be the one to get, I think.
I don't have to do it till October. There's another one, same thing. So
that one's pretty good too.
Yeah.
Death. Fun stuff, huh?
Great stuff. Glad to end a podcast on that note.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good note to end a podcast on. Let's just call it there.
All right.
Hope you enjoyed it. Talk to you soon.